It's always a little bit tough to compete with the choir after basically singing my sermon for me. So if I'd like to just say amen and sit down, I'm happy to do that. In honor of this most important holiday, I dedicate this sermon to Bill Murray's character of Groundhog Day. For those who have never seen the film, it came out in the 90s, so I will spoil the plot for you. I am sorry. But it stars Murray as weatherman Phil Connors, who, during a reporting assignment on whether the titular groundhog would cast a shadow or not, is stuck in a time warp. He must repeat Groundhog Day, February 2nd, over and over and over. No one knows except him about this time loop, and so all he can do is struggle with it. He must repeat everything, and finally he decides, to heck with it. I might as well have some fun. I'm going to be here a while, I might as well do things besides the same thing over and over. He masters the piano. He takes up ice sculpting. He learns French. He tries to woo his producer, Rita, which a problematic story for an English lecture another day, but he learns more about her each day and learns what she likes and learns what she loves and learns who she is. He eventually tries to make things better for others with charitable works. And after escaping the time loop, he has grown as a human being. A number of people with far too much time on their hands, who I'm eternally grateful for, have estimated Phil Connors was stuck in Groundhog Day for anywhere from a month, based on the number of changes we see in the movie, to several years, estimating it takes 10,000 hours to become a master at something, whether it's a language or a craft or an instrument. Thus, saying that Phil Connors, at the extreme end, repeated February 2nd for 34 years. For some, that is a whole lifetime. That is a ridiculous amount of time to be stuck. What would you do if you had an extra 34 years? He never aged. He never got sick. He tried some stupid things, like throwing himself off a cliff to end the cycle, but he was fine the next day. He had 34 extra years in his life. What would you do if you know that you had that much time? I mean, not even Jesus had 34 years. He was killed at 32. But only at 40 days old, little baby Jesus is presented to the temple, just as his ancestors had done and just as was custom in his family tradition, as per Jewish custom. He was presented, and Mary was purified and able to rejoin society. I think it's part of that long tradition of giving the mother 40 days to actually sleep before she has to do something with others. And all would be well. There are two people in the temple that day that notice something. Simeon, according to tradition, a scholar who, when he was translating Isaiah, was met by an angel. And the angel told him that he would live to see the new Messiah. In an interesting twist, our Orthodox brothers and sisters estimate then Simeon was 200 years old when he met baby Jesus. He met the Messiah and, inspired by the Spirit, foretold that this was the coming Prince of Peace, and so he could die in peace. Another elder, Anna, who also proclaimed Jesus to be the Messiah, made it her goal to tell the world, the first prophet of Jesus. She had been fasting and praying for this for decades. Neither Anna nor Simeon would see the kingdom of Christ that Jesus was trying to foretell. They would die well before he started his ministry, which, after 200 years, is probably a good thing. but they had spent decades trying to better themselves and better others for the coming of Jesus. They were trying to live their best life, but not for themselves. They were doing it for the next generation. It takes courage to realize that you will not experience the fruits of your labors, but to be content and know that others will. Like Jadav Payeng, they knew it would be worth it. Jadav was born in the Assam region of India. The Malaji Reserve in Assam was shrinking rapidly due to deforestation and poaching and all manners of economic and environmental factors that we see here every day. There was a small effort by the government to plant 200 hectares, but it was halted in the 1980s. Jadav decided to take the work on himself. Over 30 years, he had managed to plant over 1 million trees, over 550 hectares by himself, starting with bamboo, moving on to other native plants. He slowly and surely rebuilt this forest himself. He managed to bring back native species, elephants and tigers and Indian rhinos. He prevented erosion on local riverbanks that was causing further damage. It's currently an area larger than Central Park in New York. But Jadav knows that this forest will really begin its work once he is long gone, as the plants continue to sprout and grow and spread beyond those borders, and as the animals continue to grow and claim this space back as theirs, and the humans know of the importance of conservation. He is living his best life, but he won't be reaping the really good rewards. That'll be saved for the 10 elephant calves that have already been born in this park. The true meaning of life is to plant trees under whose shade you do not expect to sit. Kristen asked me to be part of this Living Your Best Life series, answering the question, how do we live our best lives? What does it mean to live our best lives? And reading about Simeon and Anna, I think we don't live the best lives for ourselves. Sure. Please brush your teeth and go to the doctor and for God's sake wash your hands so that you aren't spreading the cold to me again. It's fine, it was probably one of your kids. But those are important for you. What's important for others? How else do we bring out the best in ourselves? I think it is by realizing that almost all of what we're doing will outlast us. Not in the style of Egyptian pyramids that are going to go on for thousands of years, not in the way that William Shakespeare's works have been around for centuries and we will continue to look at them and make adaptations, but in the way that we are called to the path that Jesus laid down for us. Every step, every handshake, every kind word, every thoughtful deed done in creating a kingdom of hope and love and peace. This is how we create the kingdom. Not one where we insist on making the tallest tower, the shiniest statue, but instead we create a community that has peace, mercy, justice. Those are the things that will last. My first funeral here at Rosedale was for Reverend Nettie Hoffman. Many of you know Nettie. If you don't know Nettie, you know someone who knew her and whose life was changed forever. A titan in the church. She sponsored countless refugees and helped out countless homeless communities. She fought for justice. She was also one of the first women ministers in Quebec in a time when women in ministry were treated as jokes, as pet projects, or worse, affronts to God, because women should not be ministers. She died, knowing that her legacy lives on. Countless people have been helped, not just the people directly helped by her, but the organizations set up by people who came here and decided to grow a community. Countless people inspired by her story. Countless people who are building the kingdom. Because of women like Nettie, women like Kristen and I aren't jokes anymore. Because of women like Nettie, I never have been. Because of women like Nettie, we don't have to break those glass ceilings. We can get on with the fun work, the hard work, the important work of God's kingdom. This is what we're doing here. Nettie won't see the true impact of her labor, though she saw much of it in her lifetime. The true impact of her labor is here, now, and continuing on for generations to come. It will grow as high as a forest one man planted 30 years ago. Going back to Bill Murray, what would you do if you had 34 years? What would you do if you knew you had this extra time? Would you improve upon your ice skating? Would you learn Japanese? Would you travel? Would you call more politicians? Join a protest or two extra? Would you sponsor more people? Would you be a little bit more compassionate because you know you're going to be around for a little while longer? Would you donate more blood? To quote Mary Oliver, tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Here's the deal. I don't know how long we all have. None of us do. All we know is that we have today. And so what are we going to do today to create that legacy for tomorrow? We don't need to be stuck in a time warp. We don't need to know we have 34 extra years. We don't need to know our timeline to know that we can create a legacy today. And it starts with a commitment that what we do today will impact future generations. We will make the world a better place, not for ourselves, but for our fellow friends and followers of the way of love. We commit to this long game, writing our part in a story that started long before we arrived and will end long after we depart this planet. We don't need 34 extra years to do that. All we need, and all we need and have, is today. Amen.